we're so used to seeing things that, in my opinion, aren't quite right in our treatment of animals.
Yeah, the less we eat, the less violence is being done, and the less destruction to the environment.
Everyone eats, and everyone has to make a moral decision every time that we sit down to the table.
Welcome to the Animal Voices Radio Show, Canada's only radio program on animal advocacy and compassionate living. This is 100.5 FM Co-op Radio CFRO in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, on unceded Coast Salish territories. Today is Friday, July the 12th, 2019. I am your host, Allison Cole, and I am joined here today by my co-host, Elise Jacobson.
Hello.
And our control room operator, Carol Davies McIntosh. For our first interview today, we'll have animal activist Rich Adams on the show. He is also known as Rich the Vegan. He's from England, and he completes physical challenges to highlight the suffering of animals and to raise awareness for veganism. Right now, Rich is near completion of one of these challenges. It's a cross-country tour campaign that he started on April the 1st called Kathy's Tale, Canada 2019. Rich has been using a kick scooter to scoot his way over 5,000 kilometers from the east coast of Nova Scotia to the west coast of Vancouver to raise awareness of the dog meat trade in South Korea. And with that comes the awareness to Canadians that we love dogs and can't imagine eating them, so why not love pigs, cows, and others as well? For our feature interview, we will be speaking with someone who loves pigs and cows so much that she decided to dedicate herself to rescuing these animals who are in need. She rescues pigs from the farmed animal industry and from the pot-bellied pig breeding industry and provides them, along with calves and sheep and more, a safe sanctuary to call home. Carrie Shogan will be here with us in the studio to speak about the Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary that she has co-founded, located in Alder Grove in the Lower Mainland here. That interview I am excited about, and it's coming up in about 32 minutes, so please do stay tuned. And we will be live video streaming the interview on Facebook as well, so please go to our Facebook page in about 32 minutes if you would like to see that. It will be saved there afterwards as well. But first, I have an announcement. So a few days ago, I received an email announcing that the much-anticipated documentary film, The Game Changers, which is executive produced by Arnold Schwarzenegger, James Cameron, and Jackie Chan, will finally be debuting in theaters nationwide and will actually be having a global premiere on Monday, September the 16th. This film, I keep saying, is going to be a game changer once it gets seen by the masses. We've been waiting for it for years, and I can see that they've updated the film now with new segments. James Cameron wanted to make this film after going vegan himself to show the world that eating a wholly plant-based diet is not only beneficial for athletes, but that athletes can be leaders in their competitive sport while eating just plant foods. Here's a short clip of the trailer, which starts off with Arnold Schwarzenegger giving a testimonial.
One and only Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I ate a lot of meat. They showed us commercials.
Steak. That's what a man eats.
Selling that idea that real men eat meat.
Serious man food.
But you got to understand, that's marketing. That's not based on reality.
I've been teaching fighting techniques to government agencies for more than 15 years. Then I got injured. Unable to teach for at least 6 months, I spent more than 1,000 hours studying science on recovery and nutrition. I stumbled across a study about the Roman gladiators.
The gladiators were predominantly vegetarian.
How could the original professional fighters be so powerful, eating only plants?
When I made the switch to a plant-based diet, I qualified for my third Olympic team. I broke 2 American records. I was like, man, I should have done this a long while ago.
When I went plant-based, I wasn't sure if I was going to survive. And I actually became like a machine.
One of the biggest misconceptions in sports nutrition is that we have to have animal protein to perform at a high level. That's just not true.
Sometimes you have to do things that you know your competitors aren't doing.
So the Game Changers follows a story of James Wilkes, Special Forces trainer and winner of The Ultimate Fighter, as he travels the world on a quest for the truth about meat, protein, and strength. So this film showcases a variety of elite athletes, special ops soldiers, and visionary scientists who are all exposing the hanging myths about how food not only affects our human strength and fitness performance, but also the health of the entire global population. And plant-based athletes with high performance levels have been starting to pop out in our culture in recent years. But still, this myth is pervasive, in which most people still truly think that you need to eat animals and their byproducts to build muscle and therefore be an elite athlete. Elise, what are your thoughts about this film? Have you been anticipating it as much as I have? It's been a couple of years now that they've been saying it was going to come out.
That's true. Yeah. I've heard buzz about it for quite a while. And I think it's awesome. I think it's great that it's going to be, you know, premiering globally and we're going to be smashing some of these myths. I think that, we've definitely seen more visibility of vegan athletes and vegan bodybuilders and stuff in recent years. I think most people are starting to get an idea that, you know, maybe you don't need to eat meat or other animal products to be a successful athlete. But I still hear misconceptions about that sometimes, like, oh, if you go vegan, you're going to be weak and you can't build muscle, you don't want to have endurance and stuff like that. So amazing to see all these people busting these myths.
Yes, they have such a lineup for their cast as well, I have to say. And speaking of busting myths, they have all of these elite plant-based or vegan athletes who are breaking records.
Right.
In this film, just a few of them, we have Scott Jurek. He's a vegan record holding ultra marathoner. He's been at it for a long time. In that little clip that we heard was Dotsie Bausch, who we've had on the show before. She's right. An 8-time U.S. national cycling champion and also a silver medal winning cyclist at the 2012 London Olympics. And we had her speak about that on the show. There's also Kendrick Ferris, who is featured in this little clip that we played. He is the American record holder in weightlifting. And there's so much more. One of my favorites is Patrick Baboumian, who right. is a world record holding strongman, and he's an ethical vegan.
He's amazing.
Yeah, I've heard him in interviews, and someone asked him, like, he's so strong. Someone asked him, how can you be as strong as an ox without eating meat? And what do you think his answer is? Have you ever seen an ox eating meat?
Right.
They are plant-based, just like some of the strongest animals in the world, like the elephants, and for example. So I'm looking forward to this worldwide premiere, and it applies to the Vancouver area as well. So I just want to talk about that. The Game Changers website is currently announcing that you can get your tickets now. I did go on Cineplex.com earlier today, and they are selling the tickets. So there's in the Cineplexes in West Vancouver, Marine Gateway, Coquitlam, and Abbotsford. You can actually buy your tickets right now. That's happening on September 16th. And I think that after September 16th, we're going to see a day when the world knows about the health and performance benefits of a plant-based diet. When everyone knows about that, that day is coming soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you have some news for us.
Yeah. Now for the news, Global News reported last night that a second horse has died after sustaining injuries during a chuck wagon race at the 2019 Calgary Stampede on Wednesday. Witnesses reported that at around 8 p.m., the horse started to show problems halfway around the track during the second heat of GMC Rangeland Derby. The horse eventually went down as the wagon approached the final turn. That's when Stampede officials brought in a black tarp and loaded the animal onto a trailer pulled by a tractor. Calgary Stampede officials confirmed that a horse on the wagon of Aubrey Motawilo sustained a running injury, quote-unquote running injury. The horse was assessed by a veterinarian on the track and found to have a fractured left front radius, which is allegedly untreatable, and the animal was therefore euthanized. Stampede officials told Global News that the horse underwent tests from veterinarians throughout the week, which is standard protocol under the Stampede's Fitness to Compete program, and there were no warning signs ahead of Wednesday's incident. So it is apparent that the horse died from their injuries.
There was a warning sign, and do you know what that is? It's the statistics.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It happens every single year, and I'm not just saying that. Like, it actually, so as of this morning, a third horse has died.
Yes, I heard about that on CBC this morning. Yeah, another horse has died. It's, kind of appalling to me that people continue to support this event. I mean, the Stampede in general, especially the chuck wagon races, just considering how many animals are brutally injured and killed every single year. Like you said, it's just kind of a big spectacle of animal cruelty and abuse. And, you know, it's we're past that now. We should be moving past that.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering who is supporting these rodeos, because I hear, you know, we do a lot of reporting and we hear that the Canadians don't want the rodeo or rodeo events to happen. But then there was the poll that was on CTV News on the website, on their website last night, saying, asking, do you support chuck wagon races in light of events this week?
Right.
And when I got to it, it was 49% people said no. And so I made it my mission last night to share that and vote as many times as I could.
Yeah.
And the animal people are winning that poll slightly now, but not by
it's
much.
Still close to half and half. I know. I was surprised by that. I mean, people can see that horses are dying in these events and still think that it's okay. I don't get it. I think there's some kind of a, you know, mental block there. But yeah, hopefully we can, you know, keep raising awareness about these things and eventually move past that, because we don't need that anymore. And just quickly, one more thing. Silicon Valley technology startup Perfect Day has unveiled a first of its kind lactose-free vegan ice cream made with real cow milk proteins that are not derived from a cow. The 1,000 pint limited batch ice cream is available through Perfect Day in three flavors: vanilla salted fudge, milky chocolate, and vanilla blackberry toffee, in a three pint bundle for $60 plus shipping and handling. So hopefully the price will go down eventually, but that's what it is right now. The founders, who are biomedical engineers, are vegans who met while aiming to solve the same problem, creating next level vegan dairy products, particularly cheese, that would be indistinguishable from cow milk based varieties. In 2014, the pair was accepted into acclaimed incubator IndieBio, where they began to decouple whey and casein, the proteins responsible for much of the textural and behavioral elements of milk, from the cow. And to do so, they print a cow's DNA sequence as a blueprint that is inserted into yeast-based microflora, tiny living organisms that are used to make everyday items such as vitamins and probiotics. The flora then takes the place of a cow and undergoes an acellular, that is without animal cells, fermentation process, producing an abundance of milk proteins. So this is pretty amazing stuff. You
can
essentially,
edge science.
Yeah, you can create dairy without using animals at all. So that's something to watch out for.
Thanks for the news, Elise.
Mosaic is proud to present the English Language Institute, located off of Commercial Broadway. Are you scared to pick up the phone? Our everyday English class can help. Our experienced teachers give you the listening skills to feel confident chatting in English with anyone, anywhere. For further information, visit mosaicbc.org/MELI. The Mosaic English Language Institute on Commercial Drive.
For our first interview today, we are speaking with Rich Adams, also known as Rich the Vegan. Rich is an activist from England who completes physical challenges to highlight the suffering of animals and to raise awareness for veganism. Last year, in May 2018, he traveled across South Korea to raise awareness for the poor, forgotten dogs in cages and on chains, and victims of the dog meat trade. His experiences in South Korea propelled him to this year's challenge, where he is now scooting across Canada with a simple kick scooter that you have to push with your leg. He just crossed the border into British Columbia a few days ago and joins us today while still on his journey after thousands of kilometers to tell us more about what he calls Kathy's Tale, Canada 2019. Hello, Rich, and welcome to the Animal Voices Show.
Hi, and thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Yes, well, thank you for taking some time out of your day-to-day and traveling across Canada now. I do appreciate that you're making a quick stop for us. I understand that you're in Golden, BC, so you've just crossed the border the other day. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, I crossed the border, so I got to the Continental Divide and crossed from Alberta into British Columbia, and this is the last province for me. So, in theory, it's all downhill, but it doesn't feel that way. But in theory, I'm going down to sea level.
That's great. So please tell us about your experiences in South Korea last year, in what you saw within the dog meat trade, and who was Kathy?
So last year, I took a scooter across South Korea. Mm-hmm. And the original purpose of that was to just raise awareness for that brutal trade there, which is the dog meat trade, where dogs are tortured and brutalized. And the idea was a scooter would attract attention. You know, this 6-foot-1 guy with a ginger beard on a scooter, people are going to kind of ask, what is he doing? And as I went from the south eastern part in Busan all the way up to the northwestern part, Incheon, so I went diagonally across the country. And as part of that trip, I actually then saw dogs in cages, on chains, and I said, you know, as a human being, as a vegan man, I can't leave them. I've got to do something. And so in the day I was traveling, and then at night I was kind of asking for help, and I ended up teaming up with a woman called Jenny Kim, and there's another organization called ARC, Animal Rescue Korea, run by Sean Davis, and they actually helped me get these dogs. And Kathy was one of those dogs, so she was in really bad condition. She was in a cage. It had no roof. You know, when it rained, she got soaked. When it was blazing hot sun, she was just had no way, no shade, and managed to get her out. And we got her medically treated and brought to Canada, and she was all set up for adoption. And then, unfortunately, she took ill and passed away. Aww. And so for her last night, you know, we tried everything. We took her to the vets, but they just said there's nothing more we can do. So for her last night, we took her and she watched the sunset over the Rocky Mountains. And, you know, she actually felt love and she felt valued. And so after that, I said, well, you know, I've got to bring even more awareness to this and to all animals who suffer. And so that is why this trip was born. And I named it in honor of Kathy to show that her life had value, her life had meaning, and that all animals, their lives count. And I want to try and be a voice for them.
That's wonderful. I wonder when you saw these conditions in South Korea, like particularly with Kathy, she looks really friendly in your photos. Was she an animal who you think was stolen from some humans who had her as a companion animal? Or do you think she was bred like that from a baby? Do you know?
We don't know. We have no idea. I mean, we took her to the vet and they kind of said, you know, she's probably about 7 or 8. And due to her demeanor, because she was, you know, so loving and friendly, we believe that, yeah, she was probably someone's pet. And essentially either she was stolen or they sold her or she was just essentially given up to this person and then just thrown in a cage.
When you were in South Korea, what did you learn about the dog meat trade there? This was your first experience in having it face you, being that you were right there. So what were some of the things that you learned about the dog meat trade?
Yeah, I mean, I'd previously been in South Korea many years ago, and that was when I initially learned about the dog meat trade, and it was actually that turned me vegan. But kind of being distant from that, because at that time I was still, you know, eating animals, and going back this time as a vegan and seeing the suffering, the immense suffering, and you know, looking at how these animals are treated and seeing, if you like, the beliefs that go behind this, because, you know, they believe that by eating these dogs, that it makes you better in bed. And they believe that by eating these dogs during the hottest days of the year, which is coming up right now in Korea called Boknal, that it keeps you cool. So they have these, you know, crazy myths built up around these dogs, and the belief is that these dogs, you know, have to suffer. And, you know, it's very hard to face that. And then also to look at yourself and realize the suffering that, you know, I'd caused previously in the past to other animals, you know, not dogs, but other animals. And it's interesting to see how Koreans themselves are also turning against this. You know, you can't say that every Korean does this, because there are many people who are fighting against this. You know, the woman who helped me, Jenny Kim, she is fighting against this. And there's a lot of other brave women who are fighting against this. And things are changing there. You know, the younger generation, they're starting to have dogs more as pets. And, you know, they're not really interested so much in eating this dog meat. And so I'm very hopeful that, you know, as time goes on, this will eventually die out.
Well, you said your vegan story intertwines with your experiences in South Korea being the previous time you had gone there. You weren't vegan. You made a connection with the dogs, I guess maybe because you connect with dogs here while you're from England. Now, can you tell us what it was like? Did you have a literal switch in your head when you were observing these dogs, and then the literal switch led you to, hey, I'm going vegan?
Yeah, what it was, you know, I didn't have that switch. When I initially went there, you know, I kind of went, oh, they eat dogs, and, you know, it seemed exotic, and that's what they do. And then I met a man called Kevin Leahy, who had just gone vegan. And he, you know, showed me a video and of the dogs suffering. And that really kind of impacted me, again, because of the cultural, you know, association with dogs and actually seeing it. And I then spoke to some Koreans about this, and they said, well, you can't judge us because you eat pigs, cows, chickens, turkeys. And literally that then was the switch for me, because I went, hey, 100% right. And I kind of said, you know what? I'm not going to do it anymore. And literally from that moment, I then cut out eating, you know, cows and pigs and chicken, and essentially went vegetarian overnight, and just said, you know, I can't do this. They're 100% right. So for me, that was the switch, was actually someone saying to me, whoa, don't judge us, look at what you're doing. And then I had to reflect upon myself. And that's something that not a lot of people want to do. But for me, I had to. And just instantly in that moment, I said, okay, I'm giving it up. Because if I, you know, want to value one animal, I have to also value every other animal and be consistent and be true.
I really applaud you for making the connections on your own there. It shows me that you're genuine and that you're empathetic and that you want to do better, even if it's coming out of your comfort zone. And now look at you now.
Yeah.
You're traveling across Canada on a scooter. When did you start your journey across Canada? And can you tell us how it's been? Any interesting stories to share? And how have you been raising the awareness for the animals in each city in your journey?
So I started on the 1st of April at Point Pleasant in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And, you know, that was very tough. It was gale force winds, rain, snow, and really, you know, I was not expecting that. And those first, you know, few days and few weeks were really tough. But the funny thing was, I actually met some amazing people. And, you know, one of the, I guess, the funny stories was I was actually getting some lunch, grabbing a sandwich, and there was some police officers there. And one of them came over and said, you know, what are you doing? And, you know, what's going on kind of thing here? And we struck up a conversation, and he said, well, where are you staying tonight? And I said, I don't know. You know, I was looking for somewhere to camp or maybe try and get a cheap motel somewhere. You know, the weather's bad. And he said, you know what? Come and stay with me. So, you know, how amazing is that, you know, just sitting down, getting a sandwich, and then all of a sudden a police officer comes, and next thing you know, at his house with his wonderful wife and their two rescue dogs. And it turns out they do a lot of work helping dogs. They've got a little, they've set up a little company his wife has called Poor Life Coffee. And so when you buy that coffee, a certain portion of the purchase price goes to dog rescues. So how amazing, just this chance meeting, and all of a sudden then I, you know, connected with these people. And that's been true all the way along. As I've been going along, I've met some interesting people. And as I move from town to town, one of the biggest things, you know, I've stopped off at some rescues, some sanctuaries. I've also, I guess, one of the biggest things that I've done is really actually get on television, you know, to get onto the news. But that's putting it out there. You know, one of my aims here is not to, you know, do this and just talk to vegans because they're already vegan. You know, my aim here is to put this out and to have non-vegans see this, because they're the people we need to change. And specifically, I want to target men, because there's this big, I guess, view that to be manly, you've got to eat meat and you've got to kill and you've got to hunt. And I want to, you know, say, wait a minute, no, that's the opposite of manliness, you know. And I'm not here to say what manliness is, but to me personally, manliness is protecting those weaker than ourselves. And I want to show that as men, we can stand up. We can be compassionate. We can be loving. We can be gentle. And we can actually use, you know, our natural attributes, our physical strength, to help and to protect. And I want to say to other men that it's okay to be vegan. It's okay to be compassionate. So by doing this physical challenge, by going across Canada on a scooter, you know, it's much harder than cycling. I'm going essentially uphill, you know, from Halifax to the Continental Divide. I did 5,500 kilometers uphill against the westerly prevailing wind. Most people go west to east. I went east to west. And I'm doing that to show other people, and specifically men, that if I can do this, if I can put this much effort in, if I can go against the wind, go uphill on a scooter, that there's no excuses, that people can go vegan. And I'm living proof of that.
Yeah, I've seen you getting that message out there on the CTV major news stations as well. And I think that's so awesome that they're giving you that little airtime.
It really is.
And yeah, and that's why I wanted to give you some airtime today. So I know you're in Golden, BC.
Yep.
Is Vancouver going to be the last stop on your tour? And when do you plan to get into Vancouver here?
Yeah, so Vancouver's the end. So I'll go from the Atlantic at Point Pleasant to the Pacific at English Bay in Vancouver. And
Oh, nice.
I have to be there, I guess, around the 26th, 27th of July. Mm-hmm. And then I'll get picked up by my partner. She'll probably bring a couple of rescue dogs with her. And then we'll have to head back home. So, yeah, the pressure's on. And like I said, when I got to the Continental Divide, in theory, it's all downhill. But as I'm going through these Rockies, there's some big uphills as well. So it's this little section's a bit more challenging than what I thought it would be. But just got to keep going. And push on to Vancouver.
Right. Well, I just want to make sure you know that we're having our Vancouver Vegan Festival on July 27th, so you should definitely go there to celebrate. It's going to be good.
Yes. Yes. Where is that?
It's Creekside Park.
Okay. Oh, nice. Okay. Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So finally, if our listeners have been inspired by the work that you're doing and the causes that you're fighting for, how can our listeners help and support the cause?
So I guess one of the things is definitely if they're interested in adopting a dog, that's a massive thing. You know, saving a life, especially from somewhere like Korea, that is important, giving those dogs a second chance. So there's many adopters and many organizations doing this. I worked with Jenny Kim. She's got a big sanctuary there called the Rainbow Sanctuary. You can find her on, you know, Facebook as Jenny Kim or KDS. And she's got lots of dogs there. You can help. You can contact Sean Davis, who runs ARC, A-R-K. And she's always bringing dogs over to North America. Another way, I wasn't doing this for money. I was doing this just to raise awareness. But people have contacted me and said, hey, can we donate? So if you go to my website, which is richthevegan.com, there's a page there which has your support. It's got the lists of Jenny Kim and Sean Davis. It's also got a GoFundMe and a PayPal. So if they want to donate to me, anything donated helps me with my expenses, and then anything left, I will send over to the dogs in Korea. Yeah, and I guess the final thing people can do, which is also on my website, is go vegan. You know, it's so easy.
Of course.
So easy. And being a hero, you know, that everyone wants to be a hero. Everyone wants to feel good. So go vegan, be a hero, save multiple lives, and save your own life, you know? It's been the best thing I've ever done.
That's a great message to end with. Thank you so much, Rich, for coming on the show today to speak about your Cross Canada scooter tour in the name of Kathy from South Korea and all the animals. For more information about Rich and his campaign, Kathy's Tale 2019, you can find him on the social medias. You're on Instagram and Facebook and at his website at richthevegan.com. Thank you for taking this time out of your day for us, Rich, while you're traveling. And I wish you luck as you make it over here into Vancouver in a couple of weeks.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM CFRO. 100% listener-sponsored radio broadcasting live from the east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
And we have some upcoming events to share for you this Saturday, July 13th at 1 o'clock p.m. at the northwest corner of Broadway and Cambie. It's the Rezoning for Animals Raise a Little Hell event. They say, please join us to wave signs, hand out flyers, take signatures on petitions, and educate the public against any animal testing at the new St. Paul's Hospital. The media have been invited, so let's put on a good showing. So yeah, if you want to protest animal testing at St. Paul's Hospital, that's this Saturday at 1 at Broadway and Cambie.
And I just want to say as well that that campaign is being run by a local activist, Pat Kendall. Cool. And we had her on the show recently to speak about this. So check out the podcast at animalvoices.org and you can search Pat Kendall. It'll come up.
Great. And then on Sunday, July 14th at 10 a.m. at Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary in Aldergrove, it's a sanctuary workday plus vegan potluck and birthday celebration. DXE Vancouver is heading to Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary, a pig sanctuary located in Aldergrove, BC. This is a workday, so please come ready with appropriate clothing, work shoes or boots as it is muddy, and gloves. If you're attending and you have any special skills like electrical, carpentry, etc., do let them know in advance and confirm. They say we'll have plenty of time to snuggle and give and get love back from these precious sentient beings, that being the pigs. So get in touch with Direct Action Everywhere Vancouver for more details and to RSVP. And then looking ahead a couple weeks, Saturday, July 27th at 11 a.m., starting at 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. at Creekside Park. It's the Vancouver Vegan Festival 2019. This is an all-ages celebration of vegan food and culture located at the beautiful Creekside Park. This is a free community event brought to you by the Vegan Project, Peace People Project, Pieces, and Earth Save Canada. You can enjoy over 70 vendors, plus live music, inspiring speakers, free yoga, waterfront and mountain views, and good vibes. There will be vegan food, apparel, activism, and more. Guest speakers include internationally renowned animal rights activist James Aspie, local chef and business owner Asha Wielden of Kula Kitchen, who has been on Animal Voices before, animal rights lawyer and vegan food activist Anna Pippis of Animal Justice, who has also been on our show multiple times, and zero waste vegan apparel maker and activist Tasha Lobsinger of Peace People Project. Tasha has also been on Animal Voices, and you can find those interviews on our website, animalvoices.org.
I think this is going to be a great event. It's the,
yeah.
It's the first Vancouver Vegan Festival for people to know, and I think it's going to be a sellout, even though it's free and it's in the park. We have to rely on our Vancouver weather, cross fingers.
Right, yes. Right, absolutely. Yeah, but it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Great food and speakers and lots of different things. And then on Sunday, July 28th at 6 p.m. at the Vancouver Public Library Downtown Branch at 350 West Georgia, Dr. Lisa Kramer speaks about animal research. The ADAV Society is honored to be co-hosting this event with the Vancouver Humane Society. They say please join us as Dr. Lisa Kramer, Professor of Finance at the University of Toronto, explores the issues surrounding animal experimentation. This is a must-attend event for anyone who cares about animals and safeguarding human health. And again, that's Sunday, July 28th at 6 p.m. at the downtown Vancouver Public Library on West Georgia. If you have an animal-related event that you'd like us to share on the show, please shoot us an email at radioanimalvoices@gmail.com.
Thanks for the events, Elise. For our feature interview, we have special guest Carrie Shogan with us in the studio. Carrie is the co-founder of an animal rescue sanctuary in Aldergrove, which we just mentioned. It's called the Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary, where pigs and other animals in need find their forever home. It all started a few years ago with a piglet named Matilda, and since then, the nonprofit organization has grown to become a safe haven for abandoned pigs, as well as for calves, sheep, and cats and dogs. Hi, Carrie, and welcome to the Animal Voices Show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, we're so glad to have you here in the studio today. And just as a reminder, if you want to see this video on, or actually radio interview on video, we are on Facebook Live now. Hi, everyone. So we're live streaming from our Facebook, Animal Voices Vancouver, and you can catch it later as well at the Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary's Facebook page. So we love to share stories of animal rescue sanctuaries, and we've been hearing of your sanctuary for the last year or so, and I'm always enthralled in gratitude by people like you who step up to rescue farmed animals and provide them needed homes. Can you tell us the story of the Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary?
We decided that about a little over a year ago, in March of last year, we decided we were going to rehome some pigs. It did start with Matilda. Unfortunately, we bought her from a breeder. We didn't know any better. When we took her to get spayed, she actually died suddenly, and it was absolutely devastating for us.
Awful.
Through our research, we learned that up to 90% or more of mini pigs get rehomed because they grow. They're not so many.
Yeah.
And so what we decided was we were going to find some pigs who needed a home. We found Mama Bear and Sweet Pea. Mama was the mother pig, and Sweet Pea and Bear were her two daughters.
Aww.
And they were quite shy and timid, and we were so happy to welcome them, you know, to our place. What we didn't know was that they came from a breeder, and all three were pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was dumping her stock.
Wow.
So within 2 months, our three little pigs became 18 pigs.
That's incredible.
Wow.
How long is the gestation for a pig?
3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days.
I wouldn't have even guessed that.
Yeah. Pretty quick.
It is quick. They can reproduce very quickly, and they can have up to 14 babies.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
so that story of Mama, the pig, that overlaps a bit with the story that we shared for Father's Day. We had Hugo Slabbert on the show,
right.
and he told us about how he and his wife brought Mama to you.
Well, that was actually a different pig. Yeah. Her name is Big Mama.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a different one. There's Mama
she
and
is,
Big Mama.
Yeah, and we helped in transporting her from Salt Spring Island to her forever home at Goats on the Rock Sanctuary. So, yeah, we were actually a part of that. And it was wonderful because we said, look, we're a sanctuary. We don't have the funds. We don't have the resources, but we have the trailer. Mm-hmm. And the bodies. So I kind of communicated with Serene and Hugo and Anna Mattin and some others and kind of dubbed them the Godmother Network. And it was through that we were able to transport Big Mama to Goats on the Rock.
Yes, nice. That's awesome. So how does your vegan story fit in with all this? Were you vegan from the beginning, or did that happen along the journey of opening the sanctuary?
We weren't vegan. We were vegetarian. Actually, my youngest daughter was vegan, but we were sort of vegetarian. I'm a chef, so I work in a regular commercial kitchen, an Omni kitchen. So I was kind of promoting like the Meatless Monday and vegetarianism and that sort of thing. When we wound up with 18 pigs, which we were absolutely not expecting, we decided we were going to sell them, the piglets, because, you know, what else were you going to do with them? So we posted on some Facebook and posted online to sell the piglets. And I started getting more and more uncomfortable. I started getting more and more nervous and finding reasons not to sell to people, and never managed to sell a pig. And it was actually, I started posting in vegan-only pages saying, hey, you know, have a pig. And it was actually the wonderful vegan community here that helped me get educated that, look, these animals are not yours to sell. And it was actually Mama, the pig, who kind of made the click for me. Just, she had had so many babies taken from her in the past that she was desperate. The look in her eyes, she was frantic, and she was terrified. The breeder was a female, and so every time I would come near, she would just become hysterical that she was going to lose yet another baby.
Wow.
And that was when it really clicked for me, was just how expressive she was in letting us know Yeah. And that's when we realized this is a family, just like my family. Mm. They need to be together, and we've got the space, we've got the abilities, so we need to make that happen. And that was our moment when it all happened. People say, you guys are so amazing for rescuing these animals, and we look back at where we came from and say, no, they saved us.
Oh, that's so wonderful. So you mentioned that you initially had 18 after the pigs had babies, right? And how many residents do you have at the sanctuary now?
Once we decided to open the gates, as it were, and become a sanctuary, the call started almost immediately. And we now have 33 pigs.
Wow.
We have four calves, two goats, three sheep,
amazing.
A duck, 14 chickens.
Oh my goodness. So, wow. Can you share a few of the rescue stories of the pigs at the sanctuary?
One that really stands out is Olive and Herschel. They're brother and sister. They came from the island, and we rescued them in February. In the middle of a blizzard, we got a phone call from one of the neighbors who was very concerned. Olive had had babies in October, and they had all died because of the weather. Pigs need a very specific temperature control. Piglets, in order to thrive, they can't regulate their body temperature for the first 3 days of their lives. So they had all unfortunately died. She was about 8 months old at that time, which is very young for a pig to have babies.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
She was pregnant again, and the neighbor had let us know, look, she could have babies any day now. They had no shelter. They were being fed cat food when the owners thought of it. The neighbor was kind of giving them food as she could. So Ron, my husband, and my daughter Penny hopped in the truck and off they went. And the owner had actually signed ownership, if you will, over to the neighbor because she was too embarrassed to meet us.
Wow.
When we got there. And we got them home Sunday night, and Monday night Olive went into labor. She had five babies. Because of sort of her poor nutrition, the poor way they were kept, and the fact that she had bred with her brother, four of the five babies didn't live.
Oh.
But we have now Joaquin, who is Olive's little baby, and he's the spitting image of her, and he's just wonderful. So that's kind of a really happy ending that we were happy to be able to provide.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lovely.
Well, I know you don't just have pigs at the sanctuary. You've already expanded, as you mentioned, and you're also, you've been taking in baby calves from the dairy industry who would have literally otherwise been killed. Some of the most sweet, innocent, affectionate, and gentle baby animals I have seen and met have been calves. I have a soft spot in my heart for them.
A lot of people
sure.
do.
Yeah. We shared the story of a Christmas miracle on our New Year's show this year about how the community rallied together when nine newborn calves were rescued from a dairy farm in Abbotsford, which is near where you are, near-ish. Can you tell us about the role that you played in this rescue?
Mm-hmm. Once again, the Godmother Network kind of jumped into play, and I was contacted actually, I think, by Serene, who said, can you help us transport some calves? And so, of course, we said, yeah, absolutely. Time being of the essence. We wound up transporting six of them, just things being what they are. And life being life, we wound up keeping three of them because their homes, for one reason or another, weren't able to take them. So we wound up with in our room in our home, because they were so sick, Eddie, Mr. Misty, and Alonzo, the calves, who they stayed in our house for about 2 months while they recovered from pneumonia and scours, which is sort of a diarrhea illness. And we had our very good vet there, I think, every other day just to get these boys back to health and finally able to get them outside. They actually lived in our stock trailer for another 2 or 3 months while some amazing volunteers, just amazing earthlings, built a barn for them, which was completed just last month, I think. So the boys now have their own their own room.
Oh,
and
lovely.
Can you tell us what, I mean, it seems like they wouldn't have survived even, because I know that calves, they need to be fed milk constantly. Actually, that's what dairy milk is for, to feed baby
exactly.
calves that is otherwise given to humans. Can you speak a little bit about what their lives would have been like if you hadn't stepped into rescue?
Well, because they were Jersey cows, they were of no use to the veal industry. Mm. So they were either going to be taken to immediate slaughter for cheap cuts like dog food, or they were going to be left to starve, which is what we believe was happening, which is why they were so sick.
Oh, gosh. They are the most beautiful animals, and I want to let our listeners know, like, just go to your Facebook page and your Instagram just to check out.
Oh, they're just wonderful. They're so playful and inquisitive and gentle, mm-hmm. and it's wonderful to interact with them.
So I'm curious, when non-vegan visitors come to the sanctuary to see the animals, you know, they're perhaps just seeing and meeting these traditional farmed animals for the first time in their lives. What has this been like for you in experiencing their experiences? Can you tell us some situations in which these meetings have occurred?
We're really actually grateful that we've had the opportunity to expand from pigs into the other animals, because it's not always a pig that will make that click, or a cow. The last one we had was actually chickens. We have 14 chickens from a school hatch program. They are broiler chickens, so they are genetically modified to be fully grown by 42 days old. So they are completely, they're massive. And what happens to them is they suffer heart problems, they suffer bone and ligament problems, because the rest of their body is just not made to catch up that fast. I had a lady come, and we did the tour, and she loved the pigs and she loved the cows, but I didn't know it at the time. She was vegetarian, but she said to me afterwards that really drove it home for her, the plight of the chickens. And they are one of the most exploited animals on the planet. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I was really grateful that we were able not only to give these chickens sort of the best life we can for them, but to make that connection as well.
Absolutely. So you're starting to run official tours at the sanctuary now, from what I understand. So who are these tours for, and how can our listeners find out more about them or how to sign up for one?
So what we were getting a ton of queries from the public saying, hey, can we come and have a tour? And we always said to ourselves, look, we're not a petting zoo, so we don't want to operate like that. But our board of directors met, and we sort of discussed it and went, well, the vegans who come here, like you had mentioned earlier, the vegans who come here, they're already vegan. Mm-hmm. The people that we want to reach, and these animals are so good at making the connection with, were the people who were open to it but hadn't quite made that leap yet. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're finding, and that's why we started doing the tours. And it's been really successful. The people start out saying, oh, my grandpa had a pig farm, or my uncle raises chickens for eggs. And we don't push it, but seeing the animals happy and in a natural environment, you can see that seed planted. Mm-hmm. And you can.
And that's all it takes, right?
Exactly.
Can you just imagine if everyone could have that connection with the animals that they normally see on their plate? Like, I believe that there's so many people who are compassionate. Obviously, they saw what you saw when you started getting into this, and what many others who just make that connection very quickly, just like Rich the Vegan, who we just had on our program. And there just isn't that opportunity. I wish factory farms had tours. That would really turn people off.
I think it absolutely would. Yeah. We're working against millions of dollars in marketing. Mm-hmm. And those industries work very hard to make sure that no one sees the reality of what's on their plate. Mm-hmm. What this does, and what these animals do, without saying a word, is far more effective than any speech I could possibly give. Mm-hmm. And that's why we decided that it was going to be something that we wanted to expand to.
I think that's beautiful. These animals are ambassadors for their brothers and sisters who have died or who are spending their lives in misery right
Completely.
Now.
Completely. They lead us.
Yeah. So how has opening your home to dozens of animal friends affected you and your family's life?
We went through a few couches. That's the first thing that springs to mind.
I saw a pig in your house when I went to the kitchen to wash my hands a few months ago.
One of 11 in our house now. Wow. So pigs, when they are integrate, they fight. They fight quite a bit to establish a top hog. Exactly. They have to establish top hog status. A lot of the rehomed pigs were sort of spoiled Instagram stars, came from an apartment, didn't even know they were a pig, let alone hadn't ever seen a pig. Wow. So it's very difficult to integrate them into an established herd, which was why we established the house herd. We already had two that were in our home because of illness or circumstance. So what we did was we were going to establish, integrate animals into a much smaller herd, which would be a lot easier for them. So that was the main thing, is giving up the living room and dining room. Fortunately, we had just started renovating our home when we got pigs. So we were able to say, okay, in a year or two, maybe we'll start again.
Right. Well, do you have any tips for our listeners, just because we have you here right now? I've always wanted to open an animal sanctuary. So I like to learn from people like you, and you've done it so quickly. It must have been a really steep learning curve. I don't know what your background was with raising these animals before, and often people don't have any, and then they learn really quickly, they learn the ropes. So any tips that you have for our listeners who would also like to be a part of animal rescue, and what does it take to have a rescue sanctuary?
I was really lucky. I grew up basically in a vet clinic. My mother worked in the vet clinic for 30 plus years.
This is meant to happen.
Prior to that, she actually was a founder of Cherrybrook Zoo in St. John, New Brunswick in the 70s, which was pretty ahead of its time. Zoos, you know, not being ideal at this point in time, but at the time, her motto for her zoo was conservation, preservation, education. And she specialized in conserving endangered species. So I came from a very strong animal background. I also was in Pony Club for many, many years. So learning barn management and that sort of thing. Obviously, I don't necessarily believe in that now, but it certainly helped me with that background. As far as tips, I would say volunteer as much as you absolutely can at as many sanctuaries as you can for a year minimum, just so you can see how the goings on through all four seasons. Mm-hmm. It is very difficult. Donors' pockets are not bottomless, and volunteer pools are not as big as we would like. There are a number of us in the area. The downside of being out in the Fraser Valley is that we're sort of farther away from our volunteer pool, which is primarily in Vancouver, which was also why we want to expand into the farm tours, so that maybe we can open up that volunteer pool. We're also really lucky in that my husband stays home full-time and I work full-time, so we're able to finance plus have someone boots on the ground 24/7.
You need that when
we have three adult children who are able to help as well. So we do have a very solid support base. It is nonstop. And every time you start your to-do list, you realize you have five more things that have to happen before you can start your to-do list.
Wow, I know what that's like, but not working on a farm sanctuary. In that context,
yeah. Right, and then when you think you're smart enough, the animals tell you, nope, you're not.
Wow. So regarding volunteers, we actually just announced a volunteer work day that DXC is having. Mm-hmm. So if people want to get started with volunteering, they can do that this weekend, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a wonderful group of people, and it's going to be delicious food. Bring a vegan dish for the potluck and come and meet the animals. Check out their page, or you can check out our page on Facebook, Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary.
Yeah, I'm going to post it on our page as well, Animal Voices Vancouver. So finally, you mentioned you're a commercial chef and you specialize in vegan comfort food. That's a very good specialty to have, I think. And you also offer catering through your company, Little Oink Bakes, of which 100% of the proceeds go to the sanctuary. I know that you're having a dinner fundraising event. It's called Dîner avec les Cochons, for people who don't know what that means. Well, you can tell us. So you're hosting that on August the 10th. Can you tell us more about that?
Dîner avec les Cochons is literally dinner with the pigs. It's going to be very similar to Dîner en Blanc, except that we provide everything. We will also be having a fully catered 5-course meal provided by Urban Leaf Plant-Based Foods. So we're so excited about that. and it's a semi-formal event. We will have an outdoor vendors market and raffle 50-50. It's going to be very exciting. What it is our main fundraiser for the year, and it will be going toward our perimeter fencing, which we need to improve on. When we can do that, we can save more animals.
Wow. So how can listeners get tickets to this event if they're interested?
Check out our Facebook page. Check out our Instagram page. The links to the Eventbrite tickets are there.
And are you looking for more community vendors at this time?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're a vendor, please get in touch with me. We're still looking for vendors for the market.
Well, that sounds great, and I understand you're going to make this an annual event now. It seems like you've just been recently established as a nonprofit, is that right?
We actually established as a nonprofit back in September.
Okay.
Yeah. We are working toward our federal charity status, but that does take time.
Yeah, so I think you're on the road to, you know, saving more animals, and I just hope that our listeners can check you out. Thank you so much, Carrie, for coming on the show today to tell us about your animal rescue sanctuary, the Little Oink Bank Pig Sanctuary, located in Alder Grove, and the experiences of running a safe haven for animals in need.
It's my pleasure.
To find the sanctuary online, again, you can follow them on Facebook and Instagram, and to find out more about the Dîner avec les Cochons dinner fundraiser at the sanctuary on August the 10th. You can find this event pinned to the top of the Little Oink Bank Facebook page, and I'm going to put it on our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Animal Voices here on 100.5 FM, Vancouver Co-op Radio in Vancouver, BC, Canada, unceded Coast Salish territories. Join us next Friday, July 19th at noon. Carol, can you quickly tell us what's going to be on the show?
Yeah, we're going to have three principals from the organization called Nation Rising. We had a brief interview with them a few weeks ago, and we're going to also have a discussion on advocacy strategies.
Great. We here at Animal Voices want to connect with you online. Visit our website, animalvoices.org, where you can stream past shows and download them as podcasts. You can also see our show blog there with detailed links and subscribe to us on iTunes. Stay in touch with us on Facebook and Instagram at Animal Voices Vancouver and on Twitter at Animal Voices YVR. We have a special emergency announcement today about a missing dog. Maisie, a black lab mix, has been missing for 9 days now and was last spotted yesterday in the Caulfield area in West Vancouver. If you think you may have seen her, or if you can help her, if you can help in the search, please see the pinned post at the top of our Facebook page, Animal Voices Vancouver, for instructions on what to do. And now we'll leave you with a song. This is Melanie Sofka with I Don't Eat Animals. Stay tuned for Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. Thank you for listening to Animal Voices today, and remember to be kind to the animals.
Just thinking about the way it's supposed to be. I'll eat the plants and the fruit from the trees, and I'll live on vegetables, and I'll grow on seeds. But I don't need animals, and they don't need me. Oh no, I don't need animals, 'cause I love them, you see. Nothing dead in me. I don't eat white flour, white sugar makes you rot. Oh, white could be beautiful, but mostly it's not. A little bit of wholemeal, some raisins and cheese, but I don't need a